was just thinking, sitting in the back of the pulpit here, that I've never really in my life received a proper love letter. But it would be wrong to say that I've never received a letter. I've received letters occasionally from people here and there who get our address on the internet, and people who get them elsewhere. Some letters I've received have been, some have been quite nasty. Some have been very encouraging. Some have been from people who would be completely wide of the mark regarding the standing of Reformed Christianity. And as I mentioned, I think on Thursday night to the committee here, I got a letter from a man, and it was the greatest load of rubbish. And he said at the end of it, "If you wish, please feel free to use some of this in your sermons." Well, that was kind of him, and he meant well. But I certainly got a letter today, or I received it today. It came to me not long ago, and it certainly was not a love letter. And on the introductory page of that letter, the person had written that our whole church, that is the Free Presbyterian Church, was based upon a Roman error. Now, I'm not going to go into that tonight, but suffice to say that person went on to quote various individuals. One individual he quoted was a person who'd been to Moody Bible Institute some years ago in America and went to Wheaton College. Of course, these were universities that were founded by Christians and were greatly used of the Lord many years ago. But he'd gone there, and during his high school days, he had made what he called his religious experience. But over the years, he had come to question the Word of God, and eventually he concluded that the Bible was completely a human book. Completely a human book. Now, there are various other things that I'm not going to go into tonight that were in that correspondence that I read today that sought to rubbish the Word of God. There were things like that would imply to us that seeking to reach boys and girls with the message that they need to be saved and can be saved will cause long-term psychological damage. All that kind of thing that goes against the teaching of God's Word. And while there are any number of individuals who are opposed to God's Word, as I mentioned here a few weeks ago in the congregation, perhaps the book that is under most attack of all is the book of Genesis. And yet it's a vital book. Horatius Bonner, who was a Scottish theologian, said of the book of Genesis, he said, "It is a fountainhead of all of God's revelation to man." Someone else said concerning Genesis that it lays the foundation for everything that is after revealed by the Holy Spirit. And yet there are many question marks placed over this book by modernists. And I'm going to leave it here tonight by saying that they would all do very well to believe what is taught in the book of Genesis. Now, as we look at Genesis, we see that some of history's most prominent characters are detailed in its chapters. You read about Abraham and about Jacob and even about Adam and other prominent characters, but far more space, and you will notice this perhaps even the first time you read through the book of Genesis, far more space is given to Joseph than any other. You may say, why? Well, it's very simple. In Joseph, there was more likeness to Christ than any other. Do you remember when we first began to look at Joseph? We said that someone had estimated there were at least 100 ways in which he typified the Lord Jesus Christ. And his character and his character traits are, the instructions are numerous for us. And at every twist and turn in Joseph's life, he retained his integrity. He relied upon the Lord, and time and time again, as we read in verse 23 of chapter 39, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Continually you read those words. Well, in the verses we've read together this evening, Joseph is in jail, and jail, at the very best of times, is a dismal place. Now, God used him there. I think, just by the way, it's worth mentioning that Joseph was a man of remarkable patience. I'm not sure how I would have fared. Sometimes you think, well, people are treating you badly, and that's enough. He was treated horrendously. And now he's in a rotten dungeon of a prison. Two former employees of the royal court are his co-inmates, and they're both in the have a dream. He interprets their dreams for them. The beggar, he tells him in very plain language, he's going to be hanged. But the butler, he's going to be restored to his former employment. And I've no doubt that these men appreciated what he said, and when he had spoken in this way, particularly to the butler, he made one very reasonable request, and it's found in verse 14. He says, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." And the conclusion, or the outcome, of that request is found in our text tonight, verse 23. It says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. You know, he shouldn't have forgotten him. And when you read those words in verse 23, you have a tremendous picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's forgotten. He had every reason to remember him. And we have here a great type of Christ in Joseph. I want you to notice, as we mentioned this morning and put the title on our message, three reasons to remember. Three reasons why the butler should have remembered Joseph. And I trust if you're not converted tonight, as we consider this man, who was in many respects a good friend to this butler, I trust that you will give some thought to the greatest friend of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who will save you if you come to him. Now, first of all, we want to say that the butler should have remembered Joseph in the home. You see, as Joseph had said here, the butler was restored to his former employment. And in keeping with what Joseph said, he was back again on duty. And every single day, as this butler would look around him, he had cause to be thankful to the one who told him of that day. To the one who expressed to him the message of his deliverance, and that was Joseph. The news that he had received that Joseph's hands was so different from that which the beggar received. It was good news. And he should have remembered Joseph. And he asked him just to make mention of him. "Think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh." But no, he forgot. And men and women, he shouldn't have forgot. He shouldn't have forgotten Joseph. A friend is something to be valued. Everybody likes to think they have at least some. And you know, if your friend, if someone shows you friendship, certainly on the scale that we read of here, the very least I do believe that you would try to do for them, or that I would try to do for them if we could help them, the very least we would do would be say a word for them. But here's a man, and it says that he forgot him. I do not think that it went completely out of his head. I think that he consciously didn't bother about him. He just ignored the fact that the one who had helped him had made that request about him. And you know, when we lift this up into the spiritual realm tonight, and we ask the question, what about our Joseph? What about the one whom Joseph typifies so well? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we speak for him? Do I speak for him? Do I speak a word for him? Even now in the run-up to a mission, do I speak a word for him? I was thinking this afternoon that the Lord Jesus not only ought to be the theme of our mission and our preaching, but he ought to be the theme of our lives. God was the theme of Joseph's life. There's no question about that. And no one could deny that. And you know, if we're willing to speak a word for Jesus, God will honour that. I remember one time, giving out tracts years ago, and I was very, very disappointed that the next day I happened to be around that area, and the man who gave it to in this door, he sent it back out to me and said he didn't need it. I was really disappointed. And I put it in the lorry, and my brother and I were away up later on at this wee house, away out in a wee country road where there was two ladies lived together, two sisters, they were Roman Catholics, they lived in what was really like a wee crofter's cottage, but it was well run down, and it was completely a shambles. There's no question about that. And one of them, I well remember, she used to come down to a certain shop, and she always went to the people who were working in the shop and said, "Have you any of those tins of beans or peas that are damaged, that are reduced in price?" She's that kind of person. But this time when we went round, the other sister was there, and she named her and she said she's dead. And she was in despair. And you know, I had the opportunity to say a word for the Lord, but I found it very difficult. But I remembered the tract. And I went up into the lorry and got the tract, and I said, "Well," I said, "I want to commend to you the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you read that?" And she nearly took my hand and all to get it. And I don't know how she reacted to what was written on it. But you know how important it is that we're willing to speak for him. Do you remember in Acts chapter 8, whenever Philip, just after Pentecost, had went to the city of Samaria? What does it say concerning Philip's preaching? It says he preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ unto them. Should he have done any less? He sought to uplift the merits of the Savior. He sought to make much of the one who could save men and women from their sin. And as we seek to do that, we uplift an impeccable Savior, one who is often referred to as the sinless Lamb of God. We think of his impeccability, we think of his crucifixion, him dying the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And he was raised again, the Bible says, for our justification. We often sing of the cleansing power of his blood. And very often we sing of the comfort that comes through knowing him. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And let me ask you a question tonight, unconverted person. You're aware of all of these things. Perhaps you've heard the gospel from your earliest days. And you've heard other men uplift the Lord Jesus Christ and speak a word for him. And you've heard of all that he has wrought for sinful men. And you know what he can do for your soul. And if I were to ask you tonight concerning him, you would nod your head in approval if you were asked if the gospel in its fullness should be preached. You would believe that. You would agree with that. But when we narrow it down to you as an individual this evening, you're just like the butler. You've forgotten him. And you've crushed him out of your life. There's not a place, as I said, someone said, room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place where he can enter in your heart for which he died. And as you look around you and consider all that you have, would it not be reasonable tonight to remember him? Just as it would have been reasonable for the butler to remember Joseph long ago. How many times are you going to forget the Savior? Another month, another year, until your opportunities are all gone forever. He should have remembered Joseph because of the home. But you know, this butler should have remembered Joseph because of the hatred. Joseph seemed to suffer the outworking of hatred everywhere he turned. Do you remember his brethren? He sought their welfare. And he went after them when they'd gone to Dothan. And they planned nothing but evil against him. Now, I know that some of his brothers seemed to be a wee bit fearful and treating him harshly. But nonetheless, they stopped far short of what they should have done. He was treated with contempt. And then when he come to Potiphar's house, Potiphar's home prospered because of him. If you look there in chapter 39 and the verse 5, we read the words before on another occasion. It says, "And it came to pass from that time that he had made him," that is Joseph, "overseer in his house, and over all that he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." Here was a man who was industrious. He was a man of influence. He was a man of implicit trust. He was a man who was salt as we preached on another occasion, he was salt in Egypt. Wherever he went, the Lord blessed him. And whenever he was among people, the Lord blessed him. And yet, because of Potiphar's wife's lies, Potiphar took him and threw him into prison. He threw him into prison. And you can trace treachery and false accusation and wrongful imprisonment right through his life and experience there in Egypt. Now, the butler would have known very much about these experiences of Joseph. Certainly he would have known about the treachery and the lies and the accusations and the wrongdoing that had been carried out against Joseph in Egypt. He knew all about that. Still forgotten. It's as if young Joseph here is emphasizing the importance, and of course, this is important for us. If you look at verse 14 in chapter 40 again, he says, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." He never was one who made much of himself, but in that verse, he says me four times. He says it four times. When you look at the first me, it's really the me of consideration. He just says, think on me when it shall be well with thee. Then the second me is, you could say it was the me of compassion. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. But the third me was, took courage and make mention of me unto Pharaoh. The other me was to do with character exaltation and bring me out of this house. The best thing that could possibly happen to Egypt, and we know that it did eventually happen, was that Joseph would be brought out of the prison. That was the best thing that could happen. But when you look at that verse, and you see the emphasis that is placed upon me here, does that not remind us of how God's word impresses upon all of us the importance of Jesus Christ? The one who is hated of men. The world hates the Savior. There's no question about that. And it's right to say, and I know this from experience, people are very often happy to be friendly with you until in a conversation that they usually start regarding how religious they are. Until you tell them that they're sinners. And then their attitude towards you changes because they hate the Christ of God. And you know, the land of Ulster tonight, every year is forgetting him a little bit more. When you think of the hatred that Joseph endured, that should have been something that the butler remembered. He knew he was innocent. He knew he was God's man because he interpreted his dream correctly. But you know, I believe that in a sense Joseph was a great blessing to this man in that he did interpret his dream for him. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Ephesians 4, is a blessing to man. He's blessed individuals here with salvation blessing. He's blessed many across the country, and yet there are multitudes that still hate him. They may not say, "I hate the Lord Jesus Christ," but you and I know how difficult it is to get them to come and listen to the gospel message. Joseph was falsely accused. If you turn to Matthew's gospel chapter, and we're only mentioning these things, they're all to do with how he pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 26, it says there in verse 59, is it? Verse 59. Yes, it says, "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, many of them, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses." They were coming here one after the other. More than happy to make false accusations against the Son of God, the one who would save men, if they would turn to him. So the fact that Joseph was a blessing to others, and the fact that Joseph was falsely accused, show that to us tonight, that he certainly typified the Lord Jesus Christ in these ways. But being an innocent man, and Joseph was that, he was numbered with these boys. If you look there back at the chapter we read, chapter 40, you'll see that he was put into prison with them. You can read the early verses in the chapter again. He was numbered with them, if you like. Matthew, or Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. Jesus Christ was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with the transgressors. And all that Joseph did, He wasn't really expecting anything in return. He just said, remember me and try to help me. Speak for me. Speak for me. That was it. And you know, men and women, what Jesus Christ did, he was a blessing to others. He was falsely accused. He was numbered with the transgressors. He hung between two of them on the cross on Calvary's hill. And what he did it all for sinners. And as you look back over your lifetime tonight, and you think of how men have treated him, generally speaking, people hate the Lord. I know Christians love the Lord, but there are people, many of them, and the truth is that they hate the Lord. I think I mentioned to you here one time during the mission in McGabbery that there's a certain individual that my brother would know a lot better than me. And I do know him, but I'll tell you what, he's actually a high-ranking police officer. And he would... I'm not saying that he hates me as an individual to talk to because he will do that, but I know in speaking to him on various occasions that when it comes round to anything to do with church, his countenance changes and he hates me because of who I represent. I truly believe that tonight. Because of who I represent. Because he knows. He's been in free Presbyterian churches before. He's heard the gospel and he hates the gospel. He hates the gospel. This butler should have remembered this man because of the home and all that was around him. He should have remembered him because of the hatred. But when we trace it on back a little bit further, he should have remembered Joseph because Joseph was the one that gave to him hope. When he was behind bars, there was no hope coming from anywhere else. It says there in verse 40 that he had that had offended their Lord, the King of Egypt. The outlook was bleak in the extreme for both of them, it would seem, humanly speaking. And it was Joseph who gave this man hope by what he said to him. Now look at a few things with me, if you will. This man is already condemned. He's under condemnation. He's in the ward. He's in the prison here. He's offended Pharaoh. And verse 2 says that the Pharaoh was wroth against his two officers, against the chief of the butlers. And the word butler, it means a cupbearer. It's an important job. Maybe he tasted something and said, well, that's all right. And then Pharaoh ate it and was really sick. I don't know. That might tie in with bad cooking as well. Maybe that's how he got the both of them. But anyway, we can say tonight that this man was in trouble. He was already under condemnation. Whatever he did, it may have been trivial or it may have been grievous, but he was under the wrath of the Pharaoh. Would he apply to or appeal to Pharaoh's reason if he had any? Would he hope that Pharaoh would remember the good things that he had done? He couldn't apply to the baker for any help. You see, he's in jail and he's waiting sentence. That's it. He's already under condemnation. If you go out tonight, and I know that you won't, and you go to some man or woman and you take their life, you'll be going to prison. Sentence may not be passed immediately upon you as far as the judicial system is concerned. But you're already condemned. There's no question about that. And you're just awaiting sentence. And I believe that in this man's position, he was just awaiting sentence. Any hope was a welcome thing. And Joseph says to him there, listen, things are going to go well with you. You're going to be reinstated. You're going to be reinstated. And again, unconverted person, when you consider Christ tonight and all that he has and all that he is, when you consider your own standing this evening, the Bible says you're condemned already. You're condemned already. We read over there, and it's John chapter 3, the verse 36. It says, he that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. Now, you need to believe those words because one sin will condemn you, and already you've thought of one. And the holy God cannot look upon sin. And just as Joseph offered hope to this man, Jesus Christ offers hope to you in the gospel. He is the hope of those who come to him. I wonder, will you come? But notice here not only his condemnation. You notice in verse 5 and 6, there is care here. Look what it says. They dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Now, you would think it would be very, very happy to look cheerful in prison, but they seemed to be more sad than normal. In fact, the butler with the other man was greatly troubled. And Joseph cowered as he looked upon him. In fact, it's very obvious that he wished the well-being of this person. Friends wish you well-being. It's never otherwise. A true friend will always wish you well. And wish you well-being. And Joseph was that kind of man. And you know, folks, there are any number of people in Ulster tonight, and they're troubled about a whole pile of things. Maybe more things than they were a few years ago. Because on top of all the normal troubles of life, there's all this economic turnaround and what that means for so many people. It's right to say that some people are in turmoil. But just like the butler, in spite of the care, they forget the Lord. And his hand is outstretched to men and women. And still they forget. And didn't the Lord say, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. He's referring to the burden of sin. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what he says to men and women. But notice something else here. There was not only his condemnation and the care that Joseph had, there was consolation. Look at verse 8. Now remember, Joseph didn't need to do this. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me then, I pray you. You see, Joseph knew that God had given him the gift of interpretation. And he's really saying, listen, man, tell me about your trouble. Give it to me. Roll it over onto me and see if I can help you here. Dear unconverted person, you've heard of the many consolations that the Lord Jesus Christ can give to the troubled soul. What about the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins, knowing that they're all gone? The knowledge of justification, standing before God as though you'd never sinned. The consolation of knowing that you're accepted in the Beloved. The consolation of knowing that you're adopted into the family and fold of God. There was this condemnation here. There was care. There was actually consolation here. But notice there was comfort as well. Verse 12 it says, and Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it, the three branches or 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. What good news this was for him. What burdens. Men and women are lifted by the good news of the gospel. There's people here tonight, and if I were to call upon them, and I wouldn't do that, and say, listen, stand up and tell us what the Lord done for you. People here have done it before. They can tell that their burdens were lifted at Calvary. That they found comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. They found consolation in him. They found care in him. And all at a time when they were under condemnation. Therefore, he is their hope. He is their hope tonight. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood sacrifice on the cross, is the basis of the Christian's hope. And yet as we look at men and women tonight, they seem more determined than ever to storm on, heedless and careless, towards a Christless and an endless hell. And now we have to say tonight, that there will be a time when all will remember the Lord. But for far too many people, it'll be too late. It'll be too late when they remember the Lord. They don't remember him. But look at this man again, and you will see that he realized and witnessed that all that Joseph had said was true. Verse 22. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted. That was the completion of everything that he said. He was back in his job. His friend was dead. Just exactly as Joseph had said it would be. And how he typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's word. And what God's word says to you. God's word says this, the soul that sinneth it shall die. It says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. But it also says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a friend Joseph was. Three reasons why this man should have remembered him. He should have remembered him when he looked around him at home. It was Joseph that brought him the message of deliverance. He should have remembered him when he thought of all the hatred that had been spewed out against him. He should have remembered when he went on downstream a wee bit more. He should have upstream. He should have remembered that Joseph was the one who had the message of hope. And so it is with the sinner tonight. You ought to remember all that the Lord has done. I want to say by way of conclusion here that the butler eventually remembered. Look at chapter 41, please. If you look at verse 9. It says, then spake, this is after the Pharaoh had dreamed himself, and we'll hopefully look at these dreams on another occasion. It says, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. If you look at verse 12, he says, and there was there, as in the prison with us, a young man in Hebrew, servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. And in verse 13, and it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. May he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. And then you can read on down where the Pharaoh went and took Joseph out of prison. What do we see here? We see confession. Confession. He says, I remember this day my faults. It's a good place for him to start. Then he testifies of all that Joseph has done. And Joseph, then he comes and he interprets the Pharaoh's dreams as well. Pharaoh makes him second in command. In fact, the affairs of the nation are placed into his hand. What we're really saying, men and women, is this, as we draw this message to a close, is that how different when we don't forget. How different it is for men and women when they come to that point where they will confess their sins. Comes to that point where they're able to testify to all that the Lord has done for them. When they place their affairs into the hand of the Lord. Best thing you can do tonight. Individually, we need to do it as families. We do it as a church. We need to do it as a nation. Unsaved person, put your affairs in his hand. Joseph, in a very real way, was the saviour of Egypt as a result of the butler at last remembering. He remembered at last. And history records, and we look at it, God willing, in weeks to come. Joseph was the saviour of Egypt. I wonder tonight, as we close, how are you going to react again to the call of the gospel? Is it going to be another rejection? Are you going to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ or Joseph as your own and personal Saviour? Remember this. You have every reason to remember all that he has done and all that he can do. When you look around you and you see the goodness of God, when you think of the hatred of men towards him, maybe hatred that you've expressed yourself, but especially when you think of the hope that he is, because he's your only hope. I trust you'll trust him tonight and make him your own. May the Lord bless his word to your heart.